help finding it.
So before we continue, there was one thing that I neglected to say, and that is that we'll begin with the alternate Kyrie, which is, I believe, in the back of your worship folder. So I think it's page 15, 18, page 18, thank you. And then we'll sing our Kyrie all together. It'll be a lot easier that way.
Should we start?
Yeah, totally. We'll just start from the beginning.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison, eleison, eleison.
For peace in the church, the healing of the nations, and renewal of creation, let us pray.
Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison, eleison.
Who have no shelter, and all who are imprisoned, let us pray.
Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison, eleison.
Thanks and praise, and plead for help and mercy, let us pray.
Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison, eleison, eleison.
Page 5. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, our strength, without you, we are weak and wayward creatures. Protect us from all dangers that attack us from the outside, and cleanse us from all evil that arises from within ourselves, that we may be preserved through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A reading from Deuteronomy. So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land of the Lord, the God of your ancestors is giving you. You must neither add anything to what I command you, nor take anything away from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God with which I am charging you. You must observe them diligently, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people." For what other great nation has a deity so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we cry out to you? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law that I'm setting before you today? But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. Word of God, word of life.
Tonight's psalm will be read, Psalm number 15. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle, who may abide upon your holy hill? Those who lead a blameless life and do what is right, who speak the truth from their heart. They do not slander with the tongue. They do no evil to their friends. They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor. In their sight, the wicked are rejected, but they honor those who fear the Lord. They have sworn upon their health and do not take back their word. They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown.
The second reading comes from Song of Songs. The voice of my beloved, look, my loved one comes, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there my loved one stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Word of God, word of life.
Gospel according to Mark, chapter 7. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. So the Pharisees and scribes asked Jesus, why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? He said to them, Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition. Then Jesus called the crowd again and said to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand, there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. All evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Good evening. If we haven't met you, I'm Wes, and this is Sue, and before Marcus and Becky went out, they invited us to have the privilege of standing here before you tonight and reflecting on tonight's scriptures. We've been leading the morning Bible study last week, and we'll be continuing this week, and so we're blessed to be here with you tonight to listen to this word. We could have preached on the Mark's Gospel passage, but since we all know to wash our hands before eating at Holden, we thought we don't need to comment on that one. So we're going to enter into the Song of Songs instead. And we'd like to have you listen to it again so that you can hear more precisely the sensory and beautiful imagery that is laid before us in this passage. The voice of my beloved, look, my loved one comes, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there my loved one stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." So much passionate beauty and sensory imagery in that brief passage, as the Song of Songs is replete throughout its celebratory chapters. Sadly, even tragically, however, for most of the church's history, it has been the traditions of the elders that have governed our hearing, or better, not hearing, of the power of this reading than the message from the biblical authors themselves. So before we enter into how this reading from the song can speak to us and our condition at Holden and beyond this night, I need to reflect for a couple of minutes on why and how this song has been kept from us and the implications that has for a Christian life throughout the ages. Jesus, as we know, although we don't often recognize it and think about the implications of it, was, of course, a Jew, and for that matter, an Asian Jew. But the church writers who took up what we call Christianity after the time of the New Testament were not. They were members of the Greco-Roman elite, and as such, they were deeply trained in the traditions of Platonism. So basic to them was Platonism as capitalism and democracy are to us. We barely even question them because everybody around us just takes them for granted as the structure of our lives. But the reinterpretation of Scripture and the life of faithfulness through the lens of Platonism has been a tragedy that we are still trying to recover from. Two aspects of that we'd like to point out. One is that Plato envisioned the relationship between humans and other creatures in the earth through this vertical great chain of being, with divinity at the top, humans somewhere below, animals below that, and the rest of the non-animate world below that. In addition, Plato and the church writers understood the human person as an amalgam of three parts: the flesh, the spirit, and in Greek, psuche, as it's often translated into English, the soul. And as a result of that anthropology and that understanding of the relationship between humans and the rest of creation, many dichotomies and hierarchies were generated. Men over women, and as a consequence of that, thinking over feeling. Humans over the animals, the soul over the body, and people over the earth. So as a result, this text of Song of Songs, not just this passage, but the entire book, from the second century onward, was interpreted not according to its plain, sensory, abundant, passionate imagery, but as an allegory of the individual soul's journey with God, having sucked all the passion and sensory beauty out of it. This has been, again, a state of affairs that has led us as followers of Jesus to have to struggle to embrace the obvious language that calls us to celebrate the beauty of creation in all its forms and our deep relationship with it. So to begin the healing process of that, we'd like to invite you into this passage through the work that we've been inspired by biblical scholar Ellen Davis, who has read the Song of Songs as an imaginative poem to heal three aspects of our relationships, those that were damaged in the story of the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden story, as we know, it is not passion that is the problem that alienates us from God. It is self-will. It is our tendency to choose our will over God's will. But it is not a rejection of passion. The God of Israel is a passionate God, a God who's described as angry and joyous and sad and jealous and sometimes even filled with regret. So Ellen Davis has helped us to see that the Song of Songs is the anonymous poet, not Solomon, attempt to restore the relationships broken in the story of Genesis, to restore relationships between people, to restore relationships between people and God, and to restore relationships between people and the earth, all through the process of a deep and intimate passion that Sue will now speak to.
So from the moment we enter the Song of Songs, we are just flooded, inundated with earthy, evocative, erotic language and imagery. These word pictures, if we really take them in, if we really allow the words to be iconic for us, enliven our senses, strongly move us at the dynamic core of our bodies. From today's reading, for instance, and well, right before the reading in the same chapter, in chapter 2, we have the beloved as an apple tree, where his fruit was sweet to my taste. Followed soon after with the overwhelming, full-bodied experience of being faint with love. I was reminded this evening as we were talking at dinner when Peg said, "You have to just be wildly in love with the earth and the earth's creatures and the earth's peoples and with God. You have to be wildly in love." Yes, this leads us to apprehend that through imagery and language that is dripping with passion, eroticism, and sensuality. And then we have the beloved, as we heard, as the leaping, bounding gazelle or stag, where the movement to respond out of holy longing and desire is one that affects the whole body into uncontained movement toward. Again, we're talking about the intertwining of movement toward God, toward the earth, toward others, out of that desire. And beyond this particular reading, we over and over and over again are invited into being those who are re-earthed, those who engage in rewilding that takes us out of the box and the constrictions and the containers of what perhaps has been the tradition of our elders that has been codified in doctrine. A containment that is distant and dry and heady enough to keep us from living into the passion that we are created to live into. So through so many of the images, we find the healing of the breach of our distancing and alienation from one another, and we find a welcome home out of the exile of being distant. So there's some very specific ways that the language and in the song leads us into specific healing. One of them being what we heard of the figs. Because if you remember in the Garden of Eden story, the fig leaves are used to cover so that they are no longer disclosed or naked. So that leaves are used to cover bodily shame. While the figs in the Song of Songs are to be eaten as enticing, delightful fruit of the tree. And in the visual image of that, they are often equated, because of their appearance, with ovaries and testicles, because of their composition and appearance, which obviously is human fruitfulness, and going back to the step before that, the elemental reality, the deep human and holy longing for bodily intimacy that is fruitful with its joy and its movement into communion, the healing homecoming of God. And so we find in these images, in these evocative pictures, an iconic entry point into reclaiming the elemental nature of who we are created to be. Much of the language beyond this is even more erotic and suggestive, and we won't engage in naming many of those specifically, but just a couple of them. Your channel is an orchard of pomegranates with all choicest fruits, henna with nard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh, and aloes, with all chief spices. Can you smell and taste that richness? A garden fountain, a well of living water. That sounds familiar, right? That living water that we hear of in the Gospel of John, that is indeed the work of the Spirit generating joy and life from deep within us. Living water coming from the channel. And we find that this portrayal of passion and intimacy and delight and being moved through upwelling and inpouring and movement toward intimately, this movement of passion ends in toward the end of the Song of Songs with a statement of deep and formative identity. Set me as a seal upon your heart, for love is strong as death, passion fierce as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, a raging flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. The kind of passion, the kind of identity that is earthy, earthed, wild, that we need in these days.
So we'd like to suggest just three invitations for how we can move into embracing this passionate sensory call, not just here at Holden, but most importantly, when we return to wherever is home for us outside this place. And those three ways involve renaming of our place, rewilding of our relationship with Earth, and reclaiming the holy erotic. First, about place. Not only are the places we know often named after colonial invaders, Puget Sound, Mount Rainier, etc., but we often identify ourselves, even as we did tonight, as we listen to the visitor list who's here, by cities, by the cities that we're from. In other words, the human structures that we impose on top of the earth, rather than our place on the earth itself. What if we re-envisioned our place of home as our local watershed, as scripture scholar Ched Myers has invited and written on at great length? So that we, for example, live in the Issaquah Creek watershed, just east of Seattle, which means that we inhabit not just a place that consists of humans and buildings and roads, but a place that consists of cedars and firs and deer and rabbits and all kinds of other creatures, as well as countless plants and things that we may not know the name of. That renaming of place in relation to watershed invites us to see ourselves not at the top of a chain of being piled on top of the earth, but as part of the web of life that we share with all the other of God's creatures. And then there's rewilding. Here at Holden, we know we all love the beauty of it, or we wouldn't be here to see the mountains and to walk the trails. But sometimes I do, and perhaps you do too, visit these mountain places much like we go to a museum, observing from a distance the beauty and walking through it from exhibit to exhibit, rather than having an intimate, deep knowing of that place. You know, in the biblical Hebrew, as you may know, the word yada for know means not just know with our heads, but know with our bodies. And the ultimate sense of yada is knowing in the sense of sexual intimacy that brings forth children. So what if we knew the earth in that way? Where we live, right near Tiger Mountain in Issaquah, there, for example, are over 200 species of edible plants, which sustained the now sadly extinct Issaquah people without agriculture for many thousands of years. They knew that place. And they not only knew the names of things and what you could eat and what you could use for healing. For example, did you know that if you get stung by nettles, often growing right next to nettles are sword ferns, which if you crunch them up, are a perfect healing for nettle stings. Isn't it nice that nettles and sword ferns tend to grow together so that one can heal you from the wound of the other? But in addition to knowing the names of plants and what they might do for us, a sense of rewilding connects us back with the beauty of the life that is going on there, independent of whether it happens to serve us or not. In Genesis 1, we hear God's creation is described good in itself, before and apart from whether there are human beings at all. And again, reminding, as Sue did, of Peg's passionate desire for Holden for us beyond, only by knowing a place can, like a person, can we fall in love with it. And only by falling in love can we care enough to secure it for the future, to care for it and care with it for future reality, for us and for our children's children. So there are many other ways that you might be able to imagine how we can make our more domesticated relationships with our fellow creatures wild and passionate ones.
Okay, well, it left. So here we go. Reclaiming the powerful, holy, erotic. Because the erotic nature that we are created with is very powerful. And we need that power flowing in us and through us in God during these oftentimes disheartening times. This is not overpowerment. This is empowerment for a deep and intimate mutuality between us and God, us and the earth, all of us together. So the erotic, of course, is that deep fountain we were talking about, that fountain of living water. And it is magnetic, and it does move us, and it does indeed become a manifestation of us moving together with the earth in God for the healing and hope of this earth. Bonhoeffer knew how much we needed this embodied, celebratory, creative dynamic of the erotic. When he was teaching seminarians, he knew out of his own experience and out of his experience of his students that they were well schooled in a dry, heady, wordy, thoughts and actions kind of relationship with God. And of course, Bonhoeffer was, you know, in ministry and teaching during World War II in Germany. And that kind of heady, dry, uninspired faith that is disembodied is not enough. It wasn't enough then, it's not enough now. And so he had his own experience in New York City and brought that back to his students of a music that we're engaging in this evening that is African-American in origin, that has to do with praising God, being present to God, responding to God as a people, not just with your head and your works, but with your heart and your body, and that deep, erotic heartbeat rhythm of God's presence deep within us. So that movement of reclaiming the erotic, that deep, life-generating beat of the heart, of our bodies, of life, pours out of us as we go forth from here, out of that deep flow of the Spirit that creates beauty, that expresses beauty, that inspires beauty, that engages in presence and communion with the earth, that dances on the earth, that indeed leads to a whole person celebration of God that is powerful and erotic because it is life-creating and life-bonding. And it is, friends, the joy that is our strength. And we need to dance together in this great communion. Jesus, of course, is the Word made flesh. Made flesh. And we come here to take communion, to enter into this sacrament that for us is a yes to that embodiment that is the passion of Jesus. Jesus says to us this night, through words, through bread, through wine in our bodies, this is my body given for you. May we live that communion. May we indeed be that body, enfleshed, living in Jesus through the dangers and darkness within our bodies, within our families, and God knows in the world and on the earth. May we live in that healing, freeing, erotic body all the way to death and beyond. And all God's people say,
Amen. Amen. Please rise as you are able and join us in singing "We Are Marching in the Light of God." It is in your ELW, but I encourage you to resist the urge and just sing "We Are Marching." That's the words of the whole song. We are marching in the light. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of the Lord. Singing. We are singing in the light of God. 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 We are singing. Dancing in the light.
bulletin, we will sing our prayers tonight.
Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. Give your angels and saints charge over all who sleep. Tend your ailing ones
in your love, Lord.
Rest your weary.
In your love, Lord.
Bless your dying ones.
In your love, O Lord of all.
Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who sleep. Give your angels and saints charge over. Suffering ones.
In your love, Lord.
Heal afflicted ones.
In your love, Lord.
Shield your joyous ones.
In your love, O Lord of all.
Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. Give your angels and saints charge over all who sleep. Guard your little ones
in your love, Lord.
Guide your searching.
In your love, Lord,
grant us all your peace.
In your love, O Lord of all.
Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. Give your angels and saints charge.
For what else do the people of God pray?
We entrust these and all people into your care, O God, trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the risen Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace with one another.
As the offering is being collected, we'll sing a song, another African-American spiritual, Free at Last. Repeat after me, Free at Last.
Free at Last.
Free at Last.
Free at Last.
Thank God Almighty,
free at last.
I'm free at last. That's all you need to notice. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Surely been buked and surely been scorned. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. And still my soul is a heavenly born. If you
don't know that I've been redeemed. Well, then just follow me down to Jordan Stream.
Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. God Almighty, I'm free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last.
We bless you, O God, gracious and merciful. You bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger, that all may know your care. Prepare us now to feast upon your mercy, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Amen.
I invite you to stand so that we can give thanks to God with our whole bodies.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and good everywhere and always to give you thanks and praise, Holy God, mighty and immortal, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who on this day broke the bonds of death and by his glorious resurrection opened for us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath.
We praise you, O God.
Generations bless your faithfulness. Through the waters, across the wilderness, by night and day, out of exile, into the future.
We bless you, O God.
We give you thanks for your Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now.
We thank you, O God.
On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us, mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace, grant us peace.
Wade in the water, God's gonna trouble the water.
Now Jordan's river is chilly and cold.
God's gonna trouble the water.
It cools the body but not the soul.
God's gonna trouble the water.
What do I see?
God's gonna trouble the water.
The Holy Ghost a coming for me.
God's gonna trouble the water.
Don't believe I've been redeemed.
God's gonna trouble the water.
Just follow me down to Jordan Stream.
God's gonna trouble the water. Gonna trouble. God's gonna trouble the water. God's gonna trouble the water. God's gonna trouble the water.
Let us break bread.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees, lift my face to Thank you.
Please rise as you are able. Let us praise God.
Let us praise God together.
I invite you to turn to page 16 in your booklets, where we'll sing, "Now, Lord, You Let Your Servant Go in Peace."
Let us pray. Creator of the stars of night, we give you thanks for this gift of life. Increase our faith, open our eyes that we might recognize Jesus in all whom you call us to love and serve. Abide with us as darkness deepens and be our hope and highest joy. Until at last, with all your saints, we dwell in your unfailing light. Amen.
Receive this blessing. Holy God, blessed Trinity, strengthen your faith, increase your hope, deepen your love, and give you peace this night and always. Amen.
Our closing song is "Come Bring Your Burdens to God." Come bring your burdens to God. Come bring your burdens to God. Come bring your burdens to God, for Jesus will never say no. Come bring your burdens to God.
Come bring your burdens to God. Come bring your burdens to God. Come bring your burdens to God. For Jesus will never say no. Jesus will never say no. Come bring your burdens. Oh, come bring your burdens. Oh, come bring your burdens. For Jesus will never say no. Come bring your burdens to God. Come.
to God.